Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today, the day after the trade deadline yesterday that ended at 6 p.m., which did result in the Phils lengthening their starting pitching depth and possibly just lengthening the bullpen as well for the playoffs, and it definitely will because the Phillies are not going to go with a six-man rotation. Obviously, they wouldn't do that in the playoffs, and we're going to get into that. So the Phils, they do get a piece that I wanted at the deadline, but I wasn't completely satisfied, and I'm going to be real with you guys. I'm sure there's people that feel the same way, and I'm sure maybe there are also people that possibly disagree. Would love to hear from you out there. We're 100% going to get into it. I have a lot of thoughts on the deadline. I don't think the Phillies completely failed the deadline at all, but I thought they could have done better for sure. So we're going to get into that today, a little bit into the show as we go. But we have to talk about the game last night and a big win against Miami as they take the first two against the Miami Marlins, who they are in a tight race with in the wild card. So it's very important for the Phils to get the first two games in this series, especially even after like Sandy Alcantara. I mean, he was dominant last night for Miami. Goes eight innings and completely shuts down the Phils through eight innings of work. That's even though Sandy's been like mediocre this year overall, he's still been able to give the Marlins some length here, especially as of late. So, yeah, he went eight innings, four hits, one walk, five strikeouts, and he's been average this year, but was not average last night against the Phils. And Ranger Suarez on the other side was very good, gave you six-plus innings, did give up 10 hits, but was able to limit the damage when he needed to. So we're going to get into that. So, I mean, basically the show for today, guys, is we're going to recap last night's game as always, give you my takeaways, and then we're really just going to get into the deadline, what the Phils did, pros and cons to what they did yesterday. And then we will also discuss a few trades, around Major League Baseball, and especially like the Miami Marlins had a good trade deadline, a team that they're playing right now in the midst of a four-game set with. I thought they had a really good deadline. And, you know, even their arrival, it's nice to see. And I've mentioned this in the past. It's nice to see them, in recent past. Nice to see them going for it here at the deadline. So we'll get into some trades around Major League Baseball as well. And then we'll preview tonight's game. It starts at 6:40 p.m. as the Phils are trying to go at least get three or four. I mean, they don't need to, win all four games. Yeah, obviously would love for them to win all four games, but to take three or four from the Marlins, I mean, tonight would just be fantastic. As they head into the stretch run for the playoffs. So we'll preview tonight's game and maybe get into possibly a few news and notes, which is tied to the deadline, really. So it's really not much there. But key moments, recap of the game. It's very short, not too much to recap, but the big moments are the big moments. Bottom of the third, Ivysel Garcia has an RBI double. Luis Arraez would score to give Miami a 1-0 lead, and they wouldn't get any more runs besides that. They were close, though, And maybe if Jacob Stallings was a little faster, wasn't a catcher, but we have one of the fastest catchers in baseball. Luis Arraez hits a ball into right field. Nick Castellanos runs the grab at the right field wall, relays it to Bryson Stott. Stott throws it to Stubbs and gets Stallings, gets Jacob Stallings on a tag. I guess it was like on the inner thigh, right at home plate to get the out. Stallings was trying to score from first, but he would be out, and that proved to be a big time run prevented as Castellanos relays it and Stott gets it to Stubbs and they get the out. On top of the ninth, this is where, you know, Phils have, you know, they have won games coming from behind. This was a big one. Bryce Harper with a beautiful swing to the opposite field. Love to see that from Bryce, especially this year, as he hasn't had the power. Lines one to left for an RBI double. JK would score all the way from first base to make it a 1-1 game. Harper's at second, and Nick Castellanos up. And Castellanos takes David Robertson, former Phil, the Marlins just acquired at the deadline. Castellanos, I think it looked like a sweeper or a curveball, a two-run bomb missile out to left field to give the Phils a 3-1 lead. And Sir Anthony Dominguez would come in the ninth to get Brian De La Cruz to strike out and end the game. And the Phils would take game two of this series, 3-1. So there you go, Phils take the second game of this set in Miami. And it's a big one, man. It's a big one. And, you know, at the very least, you wanted to split, obviously. So let's get into some of my takeaways from this game. And my first one, I've already mentioned it, is another comeback resilient win for this ball club. And I don't know how many comeback wins that is this year. But, you know, the ones that come to mind in recent memory, I believe was it the Baltimore series where they came back, and I think Baltimore came in with their not with Bautista, but with one of their other really good back end bullpen arms, and the Phils came back to win that game, and they did the same this game. They were down 1-0 in that game. Was that the Boehm RBI to win? Yeah, I think that was the Boehm RBI to win, and Phils, another big comeback win. Another big comeback win. And this time it's Bryce Harper again. And it's Nick Castellanos this time. And hopefully this is a jolt for Castellanos. Hopefully, because Castellanos has not been good in the last month or so. He's been terrible. And he's looking like the Nick Castellanos of last year. Not great to see. Hopefully this can give him some confidence. You know, heading into the next couple of months, but we're going to need to see more than just a game go-ahead home run to believe that he is back to where he was at the beginning of this year and, you know, really carried the offense. But comeback resilient win, big time for this ball club, has been a pretty solid reason as to why they are, you know, what, 9 games over 500 now, and you know, it's what, in a wild card spot. It's crazy to think, like, this team's offense has not been all that great, and for them to be in a playoff spot, it's just unbelievable. So comeback resilient win. Second thing, Ranger, good start. Already talked about this, but a Ranger Suarez, good start. Hopefully good for his confidence. 10 hits, but limited damage, but gave you some length, 6 1/3, you know, 1 earned, a couple of strikeouts, and the 10 hits, but limited damage. So good Rangers start. That's my second takeaway. Third one is, yes, they got the win, and I've already mentioned it here, but again, I'm nervous about the offense. I'm nervous. I'm not saying I'm necessarily like I wouldn't be surprised if they got it together in the next, you know, a couple of weeks to a month. I mean, all that matters is they put themselves in a nice spot for September. And if, you know, say Trey Turner happens to have a good end of the season, Nick Castellanos happens to have a good end of the season, maybe Bryce adds a little power, that would be a big deal. But I can't say I'm not nervous about this offense. Like, look, I love what Bryson Stott has done all year. I love what Boehm has done to this point in the season. I like what Brandon Marsh has done to this point in the season. And I like what Johan Rojas has been able to do, you know, as of late. They go 0-for-3 yesterday with a strikeout. But, I mean, how much are you really relying on him? But the big bats, and we've been talking about this all year. Like, I mean, we weren't talking about Castellanos, but now we are. Castellanos and obviously Trey Turner. Trey Turner was 0-for-4 last night. A couple of strikeouts again. You know, Schwarber, a couple of walks and a hit. I mean, that's what Schwarber does. There you go. He didn't hit a home run last night, but for the most part, that's what he does. Walks, got a hit there. So, I mean, he doesn't hit a lot, but there you go. You got a hit from Kyle Schwarber. But I just can't say I'm not nervous about this offense. Like, I'm very nervous about the offense. Concerning, I don't know. Concerned, it's a mix of concerned, nervousness. And we're going to get into this. Actually, we'll get into it now, really. Let's segue right into the trade deadline. And let's start off with what the Phillies got yesterday. And it started off well. I liked that. The trade, I guess, didn't happen until, more towards 4 o'clock. The Phillies, and this is somebody that, some people have been looking at. I had thought about Michael Lorenzen. So the Phillies trade... Haoyu Lee, he was the Phillies' number 5 prospect for Michael Lorenzen. Lorenzen was an All-Star this year. He's coming into this clubhouse and starting rotation with a 3.58 ERA in 18 starts and just over 100 innings. And so he's been good this year. Like he's been good, and like I said, he made the All-Star team. Like he's had a good season to this point, and I like it because it adds depth to this rotation. That's what I wanted. I didn't want, you know, especially the way Nola has been this year, Christopher Sanchez has been really good, and Ranger has a good start last night, and Taiwan's been really good, leading the majors and wins. Take that for what it's worth. But Taiwan Walker's been good, but you can't, project for them to be great, the next 2 months. Hopefully they are, but you can't project for that. So I'm glad that they added that depth, and then hopefully going into the playoffs, someone can move to, like Christopher Sanchez moves to the bullpen, maybe Lorenzen moves to the bullpen too, and there you go. There's your bullpen depth for the postseason. I didn't think they needed one reliever. Wasn't my priority. That was like my third on my list. I wanted a corner outfielder, starting pitcher, and then maybe like some relief pitching depth that you didn't have to give up pretty much anything for, and they didn't get a relief pitcher at all. So I'm not like mad at that or anything, but there you go. You get two guys that'll move from the rotation to the bullpen in the playoffs. I like the Lorenzen deal, but, and also they got Rodolfo Castro. Before I get into what I thought they needed, Rodolfo Castro for Bailey Falter, and Falter is just, I think his numbers in the minors haven't been all that great. I just want to double check real quick. He wasn't good before he went down to the minors with the Phillies this year. But I think last time I checked in Lehigh Valley, 4.21 ERA, so he cleaned it up a little bit, but I'm not mad at it. I'm not mad at giving up Falter there for Rodolfo Castro. Castro, a young player for Pittsburgh, and he's a versatile player. They DFA Josh Harrison. There's your news and notes for today, really. Obviously, with the trade deadline, it's your news and notes. DFA Josh Harrison, and they bring up and they trade for this Rodolfo Castro kid, who I guess will take the place of Josh Harrison. He can play all over the infield. Solid young player. So we'll see what the Phillies can do, with this kid going forward. So that's what the deals they made. So it was Haoyu Lee for Michael Lorenzen and Rodolfo Castro for Bailey Falter. So my biggest takeaway though is they didn't get an outfield bat. Could this come back to bite them? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, if they miss the playoffs by like a game or something like that, maybe. I didn't think that necessarily like a Randall Grichuk or a Tommy Pham or a Mark Canna would necessarily make or break them. But man, like this offense has just been struggled this year. Even though they are 9 games over 500 and they've had big hits when they needed them. But I really thought the priority would have been like a corner outfielder, and they didn't get that. And I know like Pache, when healthy this year, has been good. Johan Rojas in his limited small sample size has been good. But I thought not having to give up much. I mean, because these to get like, let's see, like to get Grichuk to the Angels with it was a package with Crone, so it's kind of hard to look at that. But I mean, Tommy Pham to the Diamondbacks for Jeremy Rodriguez. Jeremy Rodriguez, number 47 prospect in the national signing class. Brewers gave up their number 30 prospect for Mark Canna. I don't see why you couldn't. Look, and on one hand, I did write this down. Like, I like that they're valuing the farm system. That's one thing I wanted them to do, and I feel like Philadelphia fans, all we want is, oh, we got to win now. We got to go all in now. Like, screw the farm system. Like, they're just prospects. It's like, well, then what the hell do we have a farm system for? What are we even drafting guys for? Let's just not draft anybody, okay? But no, I like that they're valuing the farm system. But I think you could have gave up, like, a number 30 prospect for Mark Canna. Somebody in our farm system. I feel like you could have done that. And the Phillies didn't. They did not at all. They didn't go for anybody. I meant to read what Dombrowski said about, he says, well, there weren't not a lot of right-handed hitting outfielders that moved. Like, fine, but like, he says from that right-handed hitting perspective, we talked long and hard. Really like the job that Rojas has done for us. He's a young kid coming up that's giving us energy. We like him. His defense is outstanding. His speed is good. He's felt comfortable at the big league level. We often ask ourselves, do we feel like he's overwhelmed? The answer kept coming back. So not that we didn't inquire, but there were very few guys that were available and some of the prices we just didn't want to pay based upon how we felt about him. We do have Pache coming back shortly too. He hits left-handed pitching very well. I get that, and I respect Dombrowski's answer, but like at the same time, why not get a guy like Pache, Rojas? These guys don't have experience like that. Pache a little more than Rojas, has been in the majors a couple of years, I believe. I don't know, man. I feel like I would have, for a number 30 prospect for like a guy like a Mark Canna, Canna's had success in the past with Oakland. I don't know. I would have done it just to kind of shore up the lineup, you know, going ahead the next couple of months. So like I'm not mad at the deadline but I'm disappointed they didn't try to get some outfield depth here just to shore up the lineup, because I mean, how much are you going to trust Johan Rojas and Christian Pache and Jake Cave? Like, I don't know. I don't really know, but Phils do not get a corner outfielder, and I'm a little upset about that. Hopefully, again, doesn't come back to bite them. And at the end of the day, I was thinking like, oh well, this puts more pressure on the big boys. Well, the big boys had to perform anyway. So like, Castellanos will have to get it together because Castellanos has carried this lineup for the most part of the year. Like, Trey Turner, at some point, you think he's going to at least be decent? I mean, this is what he's going to be all year. He's just going to be a really below-average player? It's really annoying. So, a few other trades to note. I want to hear from you guys out there. Let me know at @Rojas_media_ on Twitter. Would love to hear your thoughts on what the Phils did at the deadline. Do you like the Lorenzen deal, the Castro deal, them not going for a corner outfielder? What do you think? Also, a couple other trades to note. Verlander to the Astros. Justin Verlander goes back to Houston, and Houston pitches a no-hitter. Of course, the day that they acquire Justin Verlander again, Framber Valdez throws a no-hitter for the Astros. So, pretty cool. But Marlins, like I said, Miami Marlins had a good deadline. They traded our boy, our former lovable guy here, Gene Segura, and Khalil Watson for Josh Bell. Get a bat there. They also got a bat in Jake Berger, who has had a pretty solid year, at least at the with power at the plate for the White Sox. They get Jake Berger. And then David Robertson, who blows a save last night against the Phils. Thank you. But I thought Robertson was a good deadline deal for them as well. I'm trying to think if they made any other deals at the deadline. I feel like there was one other big one, but I can't think of it right now. But they at the end of the day, Marlins had a good deadline. Like, you can't say that they did not. And they're going for it to a certain extent. So also, Orioles got Jack Flaherty. That was also another trade note. It was a really boring deadline. It was not like that fun of a deadline. Usually deadlines are fun. This was not fun. So Orioles get Jack Flaherty to shore up some of their rotation as they're trying to make a World Series run with that young team. So before I get you out of here, let's preview the next game and the next game. I was going to say series, but no, we don't. That'll be tomorrow as the Phils will face the Royals this weekend. You get Zach Wheeler on the mound for the Fightins. Always feel good about that, especially as of late, as Wheeler was just nasty last time against Pittsburgh. 11 strikeouts and 6 2/3, 3 hits, 1 earned, 1 walk. And last 4 starts for Wheeler has been very good. 2.70 ERA. Opponents are hitting 202, 218, 354 with a 571 OPS overall. Last 4 starts for Zach Wheeler. And then on the other side for the Marlins, Braxton Garrett has a ERA just over 4 this year. Last time out against the Phils, which was almost about 3 weeks ago now, he had 5 innings, 3 earned, 6 hits, and 3 strikeouts in some work there against the Fightins. So Phils will face Braxton Garrett tonight. And, you know, I'm hoping that the offense gives, you know, I hope they're not going into this game thinking, oh, Zach Wheeler's on the mound, like, we'll be fine. Like, no, the offense has to come out and swing the bats. And, you know, Braxton Garrett hasn't been a bad pitcher this year. It's been pretty solid. So hopefully the Phils can light him up a little bit this time. They had a little success, you know, three runs in 5 innings against them last time out. But Phils are going to face Braxton Garrett tonight. And hopefully the bats can just give you more than three runs and 6 hits. I want something to feel confident about. And I mean, to get on a roll with the offense, and really that's up to, you know, a lot of the big bats, in Castellanos, Trey Turner. I mean, we're just beating the dead horse at this point. Like, I mean, hopefully Trey can give you something, at some point this year. I mean, if the Phils don't make some type of run, maybe we do look at Trey Turner. I know one player doesn't mean everything, but I mean, the guy's making, you know, one of the best shortstops in the league. Was supposed to be, MLB Network ranked him as number one shortstop prior to the year starting. So hopefully that doesn't really come back to bite the Phils this year. But that's the end of the show. Let me know again. Let me know on Twitter at @Rojas_media_. Let me know your thoughts on what the Phils have done at the deadline this year. Disappointed, happy, in between. Just let me know your thoughts in general. So would love to hear your thoughts just in general on the deadline and other deals as well. So that's going to do it for me. I will talk to you guys tomorrow morning, hopefully after the Phils have taken 3 or 4 from Miami. See you guys later.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.